is about when you're somewhere different is what the Lord wants to do in each one of your lives and how you can see what the Lord wants to do. And I really believe that the Lord allowed us to go to experience this because we got to go. And it, for me, it was basically a spiritual awakening. I'm excited about what God has. I'm excited about what He wants to do. I even got more excited this morning when the worship team was right on clue with what I had to say. And I do want to welcome everybody. Thank you for being here this morning. I'm excited. As you can tell, I'm running all over the place. I don't even know where my notes are, but it's okay. God is a good God, isn't He? Amen. You know, one of the things that's exciting about God is I really believe these are days that He's reaching and He's calling His people closer than He's calling us in. And His desire is that each one of us get to know Him intimately. And that means in a way that you've never known Him before. That means yielding to Him, really surrendering to Him. Because one of the things that I really grabbed a hold of while we were there in Greece is the story that we did the footsteps of Paul while we were in Greece. And the thing about Paul, there was something that transformed him, something that took place that changed his life forever. And my question to you is, has that transformation really happened? Or have you just had an encounter with God? Because see, the church sometimes is full of people that have had encounters. We know who God is. We know our salvation. But have we really been transformed to the calling that God has for you? Are you really dedicated? Because one of the things I know while we were there is, you know, you read these stories and it seems like Paul just walked from here to Taos and had another time of sharing. No, these were long distances that he walked. And the thing about Paul was when he got there, he didn't right away go into a town and just start telling them about Jesus. What he did is he started his own little business. He'd get involved with the place. He'd make sure that they knew him, that he knew them. He knew what was going on, what was happening in that city, what was causing chaos. And then he would start speaking to the people because he first got to know the people before he started speaking. And I really believe that is a real key to us in this day and age. That once you know people, you're able to speak to them from your heart to their heart. Amen. How many can say amen to that? Let's pray. Father, we're just grateful that, Lord, you're a God that loves us. And Father, today we just want to come. And Father, we want to change, Father, our understanding of what it is to encounter you or what it means to be transformed by you, Father. And I really pray, Father, that the Spirit of God may just encourage each heart that is here. That, Father, that you enlighten us. That, Father, even as we sang about the victory songs, of being in your presence in that place called holiness, Father. Father, we desire that. We want that in our lives. But, Father, how do we achieve that, my God? We seek you. We want more of you, my God, this morning. And, Father, we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. This speaks of Saul's encounter. It says, but Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. In other words, Paul was angry and he felt he was driven by the right things to come against the people that believed in Jesus. Imagine, he was even willing to he was threatening them and he was even willing to murder them. Amen. Because of their belief. It says that he went to the high priest and he asked him for letters to the synagogues of Damascus so that if he found any belonging to the way, which meaning the Christian way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. How many of us sometimes we feel we're doing what is right and we're so strong-minded that we feel we're right, and we pursue what we want. And we drive it, and we drive it, and we drive it. And there, yet, we're seeking God, and we're asking, Lord, we want to do the right thing, but we're not being sensitive to God. You see, the thing is, one of the things is so many times in our lives, we can become so strong-minded in our own ways that we're not listening to what God has. We can become so self-centered that we want things our way, that we don't listen to God's ways. And see, Paul was so strong-willed and so set in his ways, he thought he was doing what was right, and he was willing to murder, he was willing to come against the people of God. He was in a mindset. And you've got to understand that, because he's about ready to be spiritually woken up. Amen? It says, now he went his way. He approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Man, can you imagine that? Here he is doing what he wants, and he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, or for what he thought he was rightfully doing. And all of a sudden, a light surrounds him. It's a powerful light because it says it makes him fall to his knees. And then from the light comes a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Here's where I want to spend a little bit of time, because I really believe we've all had God encounters. We've all had our moments with God that God spoke to our hearts, that God shifted our hearts. He shifted our path. He shifted our mindset. He shifted the way we wanted to do things. All of a sudden, he came in, he changed some things in our lives. But the thing about it is, when he came and he spoke into our lives, did we just experience this as an encounter, or was it a life-changing circumstance or situation in our lives? I really believe the Lord really wants us to know this morning that he's still in the transforming business. And what you were does not have to continue to be the same. You know, sometimes I've even said it myself. I guess that's the way things are supposed to be. Because I'm leaning on my own understanding. I'm leaning on the things I've learned or the things I trust in. And I'm forgetting about the spiritual realm that God wants us to experience, where all things are become possible, where things can change. You know, you even think of, when we think of death, we think of it as the end. But when God looks at death, he looks at it as eternal life. Isn't that amazing? For those who trust in him, they inherit eternal life. But see, when we see it here, our mindset is, we don't see him no more. It's death. And God's showing us this transformation between earthly mentality and godly mentality. He's showing us a different way of thinking. He's opening up this whole realm of understanding the goodness of God and who he really is, so that we can truly start understanding it. And I really believe that there was more than just a light and more than just a word that was said to Paul. I really believe there was an encounter in his heart that he knew it was God. I believe that there was something that he embraced and he saw and he experienced with the presence that was life changing for him. And that's what the Lord wants for us today. He wants to bring a life changing experience to each one of us. Because sometimes we go through hardships. Sometimes our road to Damascus is difficult. How many can say amen to that? Sometimes we're facing circumstances in our own life. Maybe health issues, financial issues, stuff, just mental things that are going through our minds. Discouragement, disappointment, whatever it is. But then also sometimes our families, we're going through things in our families. And it's hard, it's difficult. Maybe it's our workplace. Maybe our lives are pretty good, but things at work are hard. But it's that journey to Damascus that I'm talking about, where all of a sudden God's going to show up and he's going to lighten your path in a new way. And he's going to show you some things you've never seen before, because things are about to change, because we're coming to an encounter with God where Jesus is victorious, where Jesus is that holy of holy. Even like that song that they sang this morning, Jesus is in this place. Amen. He's here. He's here to help us. This is not just a gathering to be social and to say hi and hallelujah and God bless you. No, this is to be able to come together and experience God like we've never experienced him before. I really believe when we start coming and expecting the greatness and the presence of God, you know what? There's some things that we've got to let go of, but there's some things we're going to enter into. I really believe Paul experienced something on that road to Damascus. Because remember, his intent was to threaten and to murder the believers of Jesus. That was his purpose. But all of a sudden, Who are you, Lord? He said. And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. This is amazing to me. The men who were traveling with Paul stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. They heard it, but they didn't see everything that Paul experienced. Thank you, David. They experienced it. How many of you realize that there's people around you that hear the voice of God, but they don't experience it? They don't embrace it. So therefore, sometimes in your life, what God is telling you, the people around you aren't hearing it. They might hear it, but they're not grabbing a hold of it. So therefore, don't listen to discouragement that is coming from people that are not experiencing the greatness of God. See, there's a lot of your friends that, you know what, they're always telling us about the old things. You know what, I bet you as soon as Saul stood up, these people were speechless and they were trying to figure things out. But as they started traveling, they started saying, reminding Saul why he was going to Damascus. What do we want us to do when we get there? Do you want us to go into the temples? Do you still want us to do this? Do you want us to bring those Christians to you? Because you know what? Sometimes they don't experience what you're experiencing, and the change is yours and not the ones around you. Therefore, sometimes you've got to be careful who you're listening to, because discouragement may come, or you may be put back on the path that you're not supposed to be walking on no more. And the Lord is saying, I want to speak to you. I've come to speak to you because I have a purpose for you, Saul. I have direction for you. And I really believe that the Lord is saying that to each heart here this morning. I have purpose for you. It doesn't matter the age. Sometimes we disqualify ourselves because of age, or we say, I'm too old, I've seen it all, or I'm too young. You know what? No, the Lord meets you where you're at. It doesn't even say Paul's age. You know what? He was on his way to do something, and God said, it's time for you to change. It's time for you to start knowing what your purpose is spiritually. How many can say amen to that? And it says, Saul rose from the ground. And although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. I'm going to say that again. Although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. How many times do you realize that your eyes are open, but you're not seeing the spiritual? You're not seeing the spiritual. His eyes were open, but he could see nothing. It says, so they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Amen. I want you to know that this became a journey that impacted nations and is still impacting lives today. It is an amazing thing. You know, one of the things that our guide was telling us when she was walking and explaining the history of the things that we were at, I never really, you kind of think you understand it, but she was a Greek lady, and this is what she said. She said, Paul's journey changed our lives. Paul's journey of 2,000 years ago changed my life. That's what she was saying. Because Paul was willing to embrace what God had for him, he changed the spirituality of a nation. How many of you realize that your impact, spiritual impact, can be tremendous if we pursue the path that God wants to give us? It's a path that God wants you to have an impact. It even says in the Word of God that when you spiritually, the blessings of God will even go on to the 10th generation. You know, that becomes important when you start having kids and you start having grandkids, because you start realizing, my hijito, and my little hita, JJ and Elena, because of what we're doing as grandparents, is going to bless them and their children. We may never see their children or their grandchildren. But you know what? The blessing of the choice spiritually that you're making is having an impact unto generations and generations. And I didn't realize when she said that, the guide said, because of Paul's willing to obey the Lord and being faithful to God, it changed my life. 2,000 years later, Paul's impact is still having spiritual standings for God. One of the places we got to go was where Paul spoke to a multitude of people. One of the things that's interesting is when you're reading the Word of God, you understand it, but when you're actually seeing what he was seeing or standing where he was at, visualizing what was there, it's amazing. Because what the city, I can't even remember the city. We saw so many things, and like sometimes I forget. I'm not as sharp. But he was standing in a place where he had walked through the city. He had become part of the city. He had seen what they were going through. And they were worshiping so many gods. There was altars in every place and everywhere to different gods with different titles. And there was names for different gods. And basically, I guess they started running out of names. And they even had an altar for the unknown God. And it says in Acts chapter 17. It says, then Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, man of Athens, I'm sorry. I perceive in all things you are very religious. In other words, I see the religion here because you guys have so many gods. I see everywhere there's temples and there's this, there's altars. And there's all this stuff being offered to gods. I see you're a very religious people. How many of you realize religion is not going to save you? We live in a very religious time. There's a lot of people that are very religious, but they're not really following the steps of Christ, the calling in their life. See, we can become so religious that we want to put everybody in a box. We want to tell you how to live, what to do, and what not to do. And if you're not doing it, we push you out of our little box. And that's what religion does. And see, there was so many different religions and things going on that everybody was separated, and it caused a lot of division. And what Paul was saying is, my God is not a God of division. He's a God of unity. But we've allowed all these things to happen, so everybody's divided. And no one's walking in unity. How many of us can see that in this world that we live in today? There's so many different churches, so many different religions, that there's even religious preaching against other religions. And he goes on, he says, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship. I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Does he have that picture up there? Can we put that picture up there, Frederick? This was the place, the picture that we took while... This is where they say Paul spoke this message to the people. It's a staircase that goes up to this mountain. And on top of that mountain, you can see all of Athens. Athens is a very big city, 4.5 million people in probably a small area. They just live on top of each other. It's unbelievable how the way they live. But from on top of that mountain is what Paul could see, and he could verify all the different places of worship, all the altars and all the, he could see it all. And it says that he probably stood on these steps. I think it's the picture of the steps that is there. When he started to say this message, it says, therefore, the one you worship without knowing. In other words, I'm going to tell you about the unknown God. I'm going to tell you about the unknown God. And he starts to mention, he goes, therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. See, he's talking about our Lord because it's so important that the people thought that if they belonged to a certain temple, a certain religion, if they did certain things at the altars a certain way, that they were going to be accepted into the heavens. But Paul is saying, you know what? It's not about your works. It's not about what you belong to. It's about your relationship with God. Because the temple is not a place made by hands. The temple is a place where God dwells, and he wants to dwell in each one of you. And see, when you come to that point, understand this is the same guy that was going to Damascus to persecute the Christians. And now all of a sudden, listen to his boldness. Listen to the change in his direction, his guidance. Now he's talking about God. The God that he persecuted, the God that he was against. Now he's exalting him and he's worshiping him. And that's what I want to talk about. Because we can all have encounters with God. We can all be thankful for what he does. We can know and give him our heart and spiritually know we're going to heaven. But are we truly transformed to the calling of who he is and what he wants to do in our lives? You know, even the songs that we're singing this morning, to me, it's about understanding when you're in that place of holiness with God, that everything changes and you know God is in control. That there is no God like our God. Our God is bigger and greater than every circumstance and situation. Everything we go through, he knows. And he wants to help us through it. He wants to give victory in your life. But the thing about it is, are we yielded to him? You know, it's kind of like it mentions in Revelation, I believe it's chapter 7. It talks about, that he has the keys of David. In other words, he has the keys of heaven and earth. You know, one of the things that happened that was funny, talking about keys. See, if you have the key, you can enter if you find the right lock or the right door. So that gives you access and it gives you authority. But if you don't have the right key, it's not going to work. And see, the Lord is saying, he even told Peter, I'm going to build upon this truth. I'm going to build the church. And the church, I'm going to give it the keys of the kingdom. Notice that he says keys, but yet in Revelation, he says the key. In other words, he holds the master key. In other words, we have the keys to do great things. And he says, whatever door you will open and whatever door you will shut, you'll be able to open and shut. But he says, when I open a door, no one can shut the door. And when I shut a door, no one can open that door. See, the thing is if our keys, the things that God has given us spiritually are lining up with him and we're all going in obedience and doing things according to his will, our keys are going to open up things in our life. Amen. How many can say amen to that? But see, the thing is, if we're trying to use worldly keys to open up heavenly things, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. In other words, if your keys are about you, about yourself, about your attitude, about everything you have, it's not going to happen. It's not going to open godly blessings or godly spiritual situations in your life. It's important that our keys line up. Because this happened on the trip we were on. When we were on the boat, we had keys for our rooms. And when we came back to one of the motels, they gave us another set of keys. And nowadays they use those cards that you swipe and stuff. Well, over there in Greece, when you go into your room, you open your room, but the lights won't work unless there's like this little tray and you got to put the key in there. Once you put your key in there, it gives that room power. So if you don't put it in there, I didn't know that. I'm walking in there, lights don't work. I'm hitting all the switches. Lights don't work in here. Where'd you bring me, wife? No. Well, when we had gotten off the boat, we came back to one of the motels. I'm walking by one of the rooms, and one of the guys that was with us on the tour, he tells me, Pastor, this room doesn't work. The keys aren't working in my room. And I looked at his key, and I said, This is the key to the boat. See, and that's what we do sometimes. We're trying to make our earthly mentality work in a heavenly atmosphere. We're trying to make our keys that we've learned and the way we've been raised function to open up the blessings of heaven. And the Lord is saying, the keys I've given you are a spiritual key. Line up spiritually so that you can open up the blessings of heaven upon your life. See, the thing is, our Lord has the master key. And God is saying he wants to open up spiritual realms in your life, but we've got to line up with him. See, when Paul encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, he was given keys. And now it was his choice to either open those doors or walk away from them. Because how can an individual that has a mindset to kill and to persecute Christians all of a sudden be out there witnessing and telling them to come and know the saving grace of Jesus? There was a change there. There was a shifting there. And it doesn't say, it doesn't go into all the details. I know that he went into a special training. I know that God spoke to him in mighty ways. And there was different things that took place. But you know what? I really believe that God is still calling a people so that whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, that God is saying, I want to come and I want to lighten that up. I'm going to light that area up in your life and I'm going to transform it. It's not just an encounter. I want you to have a change of life. I want you to be able to leave the lifestyle that you had, the things that you were, the things that drove you, the things that caused you to get excited. You're going to leave them all behind because I'm giving you keys to open up new realms and new things in your life. But the thing is, you've got to take the keys. You got to start opening heavenly doors. Because the thing about it is, there is a calling in each and everyone's lives. And God has given you keys. What are your keys about? It's about favor of God. It's about the blessing of God. And you know the beautiful thing about it is you never see Paul talking about his past. All he talks about is mine to live is gain. You know, he's talking about his life with God. He's talking about how I gotta go here, how I gotta go do this. And the only time he talks about it, he says, you know what? I'm not giving you this because I'm boasting. But you know what? I've been shipwrecked this many times. I've been whipped this many times. I've gone through all these things. And I do it all again because it's worth my God's all worth it. See, there was a change. Transformation of who he was. And I wish sometimes we could change our names when those transformations came. That we could change our name from Saul to Paul. From Peter to Robert, I don't know. So when people would come and say, remember Peter when you did that and you did this, and you'd say, oh, that was Peter. I'm Robert. I'm not the same guy no more. I've changed. See, the thing is sometimes in our lives, we can do it in our lives. We can say, you know what? I am no longer that, but this is who I am. Because let's go to Revelations. I really just want to touch on this a little bit. Revelations chapter 3, verse 7. It says, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy. It's talking about Jesus. How many of you realize there's a scripture sometime before that that says that only God is holy? So therefore, Jesus is verifying that he is God. See, there's a lot of people that always want to break up the Trinity. They want to say, well, God was God, Jesus was Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is something else. But here's Jesus is making that very clear and very simple. You know what? God said that he is holy. I think it's in Isaiah 40 that he says, and only God is holy. And here Jesus is saying, he who is holy and he who is true is speaking these words. In other words, truth means to be real. And the thing about it is, no matter what we face or what we go through in our lives, we always got to be able to go back and verify it against the truth, which is the Word of God. Amen. And it says, he who has the key of David. In other words, that master key to open every situation. How many of you realize that there are some things in your life that you say, well, I guess that's the way it's got to be? No, God says, you know what? Call on me. Let me show you that I have the key. I'm the master of the key. And I can open things that have never been opened up in your life. And I can close things that have never been, you thought were, that's the way it was supposed to be. I can change your life because I have the master key. And he who opens, and no one shuts. Someone needs to hear that today. God's going to open some things for you that no one can shut. And he's going to shut some doors that no one can open again. It says, this is the part I want to talk about. And I know your works. See, God knows you. God knows what you're doing. He knows your heart. And it says, see, I have set before you an open door. God is saying, I am setting before you an open door. Opportunity, spiritual opportunity is going to be before you. The beautiful thing about this letter to Philadelphia, it's nothing but positive. And the other letters that he wrote to the different churches, there's a lot of things that he was addressing that were negative. But Philadelphia, because Philadelphia stands, I didn't know this, it's brotherly love. Brotherly love, that's what Philadelphia means. And the thing about it, wherever there is love and there's unity, God can move, God can cause things to happen. And I really believe that that's what the Lord really wants to stir in this place, is a unity, a brotherly love. Where we are family, where we care for each other, that we're here for each other. When someone is sick, we feel it. Amen. And we pray for each other. We're encouraging each other. Because in unity, God moves with power. Because that's one of the things the enemy uses is the spirit of religion to cause division. You can see I just got excited by all this stuff that I was experiencing. It says, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength. How many of us sometimes think you have to be really, really spiritually strong for God to move in your life? It says, you have a little strength. He also refers it back in one of the scriptures where he talks about if you have faith as a mustard seed, a little faith. If you have something little. And this is the key. You have kept my word and you have not denied my name. That's your strength. If you keep God's word and you don't deny his name. In other words, I believe everything that is written in the word of God is for me. I believe that God is my God. I believe that no situation or circumstance will ever interfere with my relationship with my God. My God is my God. And nothing can separate me from his love. See, that's what we've got to come to that place and that understanding that, you know what, that's where the transformation happens, because you stop leaning on all these things of this world or running to situations or circumstances or trusting in things. And you say, no, I got to trust in my God. I want to lean on my God. My God is my everything. And when I lean on God, I get godly results. And I see the Spirit of God move like I've never seen it before. So therefore, I'm going to put my trust in God. And I will never deny his name. I will never deny his name. In other words, don't be ashamed to be called sons and daughters of the Most High God. Don't be afraid to say, I believe in Jesus as my Savior. Don't be afraid to mention it, even when you're amongst whoever. You know, I had a really good time with the people that we were on this tour with. They thought I was crazy. They kept saying, are you really a pastor? I said, yes. God's a fun God, and he gave me a lot of fun. Amen. I said, and they kept saying that, and I said, you should see the members of my church. They're even more crazy than I am. think about it is you've got to be real. You've got to be real. A lot of them were from religious denominations, and they had high expectations of the way a certain their leader or their priest or their father or whatever they want to call them, how they act and how they do things. And the thing about it is, you know what? We've got to be real. I really believe that's what was attractive about Paul, about all the disciples, about Jesus himself. He was real. I bet Jesus was fun to hang out with. I bet when you was talking about when you were fishing and when you were doing things, you could laugh with him. You could talk with him and he'd be laughing. He'd be messing with you. You know, how many, come on, if you had that power, how many of you would mess with him? You know, here you are fishing and no one's catching anything. And Jesus makes a bunch of fish just jump all over. It's like, oh, how come they're not biting? Well, you guys are using the wrong bait. Or he could throw his line in and he'd be the only one catching. I'd mess with people, would you? But you gotta be real. God made you who you are. That's the uniqueness of each person, of how you think and how you do things. And that's the beautiful thing about it. God wants you to be real. He wants you to know the perspective of understanding who you are in God. No matter what's around you, you know you can trust in God. No matter how the world looks sometimes, you got a perspective, a heavenly perspective, a perspective. And it's, you know what? It's not going to interfere with what's going on. I'll tell you a little illustration that really kind of gives it to you. There was these two up in Canada somewhere. They were having a real impact on wolves. Wolves were becoming too plentiful. And the thing is they put out a bounty on them, and they said, whoever kills a wolf, we'll give them $5,000. So these two guys said, shh, me and Jose, let's go get rich. So these two guys get together and they say, we're gonna go. And we're going to kill some wolves. So they get there, they fly over there, get to this place, get up there, and they set up their tents and everything, and they're excited about it. And the next morning they wake up, and one of them wakes up and goes outside, and they're surrounded by about 50 wolves, foaming at their mouths. The wolves are all around their camp. He runs back in and he wakes the other one. He says, wake up, wake up. The other one wakes up and says, what? He goes, we're rich. We're rich. It's all in perspective, isn't it? Because he saw opportunity. Many of us would say, those wolves are going to tear you up. But you know what? Sometimes it is that way in life, where we feel we're surrounded by wolves. But what did Elijah say to his servant? The servant came and said, Elijah, we're surrounded. Goes, Lord, open his eyes and let him see. For there are more for us than there are against us. See, sometimes you've got to see it through the eyes of God. And you've got to have that positive input. You've got to have that positive understanding that God is in control. No matter how hard or how ugly or how difficult the world may seem sometimes, you got to see it as an opportunity. How many times have you been in a dark situation where all of a sudden God shows up and he changes it all around? You know, we got to see where Paul was thrown in jail in Philippi. And you see they're torn down and stuff, but you see the kind of the general idea of where he was. And that's where Paul was put inside the prison. Someone's calling me because they want to hear that again. So someone said, amen. I want to hear that again, Pastor. But he was in jail. And that's the prison when the earthquake shook. And all the doors were open. And it says that Paul looked out and the prison guard was ready to kill himself because he knew he was in trouble because all the prisoners had escaped. And Paul spoke from the cell and said, do not harm yourself. We're all here. A bad situation leading to something great. Because it says that the guard took Paul to his house. He came to the saving grace of Jesus, and his whole household got saved. See, when things look difficult and hard, don't lean on your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. This morning we sang some songs about victory. Victory, victory, victory. You're standing on holy ground. You know what? I raise a hallelujah in the midst of my enemy. You know what? Whatever it is you're going through, you know what? Understand that God is a greater God than the situation you're in. God is bigger and greater. And you know what? You can see him move if you call on his name. The important part of it all is understanding. When you encountered God, was it just an encounter, or was it a transformation? Was it something that you grabbed a hold of and you said, you know what, Lord, I'm going to trust you with all my heart. It really made me evaluate some things. I'll tell you what, when you see the distances that Paul traveled, the places he would go, when they even told him, don't come here no more, he would still go and he'd still preach, and they'd throw him in jail again. Why did he have that drive? Why would he have such a compassion to do what God told him to do when he knew his life was in danger? Because his love for God was greater than the circumstance or the situation. He didn't have an encounter with God. He had a transformation. His life changed from hating Christianity, from hating the people that were trusting Jesus, to saying, I'm going to win the world for my God. And here we are battling with little things in life, little white lies or little habits or situations. We need to say, you know what? Kick all that away from me. I want to grab a hold of God like never before. I want to run with my God where I've never run before. I want to experience Jesus like I've never experienced him. I want to have a godly impact. A spiritual impact. In my life. My family's life. And the people around me. I want them to know that there is a God that is greater and mightier than every circumstance. But the thing is, when Jesus shows up, are we really to be ready to be transformed? Let it go. Let it go. How many of us can say, there's some things I need to let go of? Let the worship team just come up at this time. And then let it go. Let some things go. Because God wants victory in our lives. He wants victory in our lives. How many are you ready to walk in victory? How many are you ready to start seeing things through the eyes of God instead of through the eyes of your own eyes? How many are you ready to say, you know what? I want to see things through the eyes of God. I want to experience God like I've never experienced him before. I want to walk places I never thought I'd even be because Jesus loves me and he's leading and guiding me. Let us stand up this morning. I'm not just going to open up the altar. And if anyone wants to come up for prayer, the Lord is here to bring victory in your life. In the lives of maybe situations and circumstances around you. Maybe you're going through a time of decision right now and you're not sure what to do. Our God is He knows your future. Maybe there's some things that are going on that are frustrating you, or maybe you're battling with something. Maybe something's, you're battling with letting something go in your life. Just come up and say, you know what, Lord? I want to give it to you. Get rid of all this stuff. I really believe the Lord wants to set some people free today. But it's up to you. God's such a loving God, he allows you to make the choice. So we open the altars. Let my prayer warriors come up and pray as well. God is such a loving God. You know, I just saw little Allie run up here to her grandpa and jump in his arms and just hug him. You know, and that's what the Lord desires of us. Just come and jump into my arms. Let His love just penetrate you and allow you to know that if God is for you, who dares come against you? Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're a God that loves each one of us. And Father, in your own way, we build that relationship with you. I thank you for those relationships, Father, with each of my brothers and sisters. I pray that their love may just continue to grow. And Father, that even today, we may have shaken some things off. And Father, the Lord, that even our encounter with you is just not an encounter, but it's a transformation. It's a changing and a shifting of our heart. The Father, that we want to serve you, we want to know you. And Father, the Lord, you just ignite us, Father, spiritually. Let there be a spiritual awakening in each of our hearts today. The past is gone, but the future is great and mighty. And we stand excited. And I just want to thank you, Father, for our guests that came this morning. Bless them, encourage them. And Father, I thank you for our worship team. I thank you, Father, for each one of them, their dedication, and their willingness to hear, Father. And to take us to that place of worship where we can enter in, Father, and feel your presence. Thank you for, Father, just coming with your Holy Spirit and making this a good service, Father, today. Thank you, my God. We thank you. We love you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everyone says, give the Lord a clap offering. Give each other a hug. Amen.